Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpy and Peter Torpy.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete.
On today's show, we'll be talking about extreme sports for the blind. This time, it's skiing. We'll meet a teenage girl who's working her way through the process of getting into the 2014 Paralympics for speed skiing and slalom, and how she does that, and some more general information about adaptive equipment for snow sports. But first, to our tip of the week. This week's tip comes from a man who we met in the mountains of Colorado. So thank you, Dwayne. And he said, "You're the only one who can hold you back." That's his life's philosophy.
And do you remember what we were doing at the time when he said that?
We were probably stepping across some creek in the middle of the woods.
Up at 10,000 feet. That was a fun hike. Right. But anyway, the point was that, people can talk to you about what's possible and offer you different ways of doing the things you want to do, show you different technologies. But none of that works unless you accept those things and you try to work with those things or make the effort yourself. So, a good deal of what you can accomplish is really up to how motivated you are and what you're willing to try and what kind of effort you're willing to put in.
In fact, Ruth Finney, our executive producer, keeps referring to this show as the Susan B. Anthony show, who's a local hero around here. And her philosophy was, failure is impossible. And that's just another way of phrasing what Dwayne said. You're the only one who can hold you back. If you think you can do it, it's worth giving it a shot.
So be receptive to new ideas, be willing to try new things, and sometimes it takes an effort to do something new or to learn some new skills, and it's a little bit of work, but it's worth the payoff in the end. And that's what this show has been all about. We've been trying to, offer stories from other people around the world who have accomplished things despite their disabilities and showing you how these things can be done.
Turning now to our low-tech item, we'll meet Stacy Manella and Kim Sievers. Let's start with Kim.
I'm Kim Sievers. I'm the operations director at the Adaptive Sports Foundation, which is located in Windham, New York. And my job, the job that I go to every day, is as I'm primarily the grant writer for the foundation. The part of my job that I enjoy the most is guiding a visually impaired skier named Stacy Manella.
I'm Stacy Manella, and I'm a visually impaired ski racer who wants to go to Sochi, Russia for the 2014 Paralympics. I've been skiing with the Adaptive Sports Foundation at Windham Mountain since I was 4, and everything just kind of blossomed from there.
So we talked to Stacy a little bit about her visual disability and what kinds of special issues that it presents for someone who is skiing at those speeds and through those kinds of courses.
I have a genetic disease called achromatopsia, and it makes me extremely light sensitive, and it gives me really poor visual acuity. When I'm in the sun, if I don't have glasses on, I seriously can't see anything. So skiing obviously is a little bit difficult, but we have corrective goggles, so it helps a lot, but I still have bad visual acuity. First of all, I have contacts that are made up, which are tinted, so that helps me filter out the light a lot. And also when I ski, I wear goggles that have 5 layers of window tint on them on top of my tinted contacts, so that also helps me filter out more light. And so it just helps me balance the light a little bit so that I can see a little bit in the sun and just enough so I could see Kim in front of me.
You might wonder why she picked skiing if one of her main visual issues is that she doesn't deal well in bright sunlight, but apparently she's figured out a way around it with all the window tint on the goggles and the tinted contact lenses, and she just loves to ski, and so it's worth it to her to jump through a couple extra hoops in order to make it happen.
Well, and again, it's a matter of, as we said in the tip of the week, of finding out what types of things might work for you and, you know, making accommodations to your particular visual impairment or disability, and then just working it out so that you can do what you want to do. And then Stacy's apparently done that.
So it's kind of interesting how we found out about Stacy and Kim. We went out to visit our son in Colorado who works at one of these ski resorts. And we had heard that they do adaptive skiing and adaptive snowboarding at Breckenridge and Keystone and a number of other ski resorts. And we said, well, okay, you know, we're out here for a few days. Can you put us in touch with somebody who's involved? And so our son went to his manager, and she knew who somebody was who was involved. And we barely managed to get the contact information. And by the time we went home at the end of the week, we hadn't managed to make contact. But just a few days later, you know, our son knew we were looking for somebody who was a visually impaired skier. And he was watching TV, and they had this show on TV that, you know, the last 5 or 10 minutes had something to do with a blind man from New Jersey, I guess, who goes out to Colorado to ski. And so he contacted the television station and asked if they'd be willing to talk to us. And they said, well, you know, we could talk to you, but boy, Kim Seavers would be a much better person for you to talk to. And so we got in touch with her, and she put us in touch with Stacy Minella. And now here's the show.
Yeah, the only problem was scheduling. When we first ran into them, made phone contact, I think Stacy and Kim were off to Austria to do some kind of ski competition. So these are quite accomplished people.
Well, right. They were in Austria for 2 weeks, and then they came back, and we had to squeeze the interview in between. They left for Breckenridge and Vail for another competition.
You know, interestingly, I think that's the first time I ever skied. I was in my 20s in graduate school. I was visiting some friends out in Boulder, and they knew that they had some programs for the blind. And it was one of the ski resorts, either Vail or Breckenridge, I don't even know which one, but someplace up there, and they had a program that they would actually loan you the equipment for the day and as well as give you an instructor. And we had a great time. In fact, I was able to see a little bit better at that time in my life, and I could follow someone brightly, you know, wearing a bright vest in front of me, and my ski instructor skied in front of me. We made big S's going down the slope, and interestingly enough, she only had one leg, so we were two of us had different kinds of disabilities, but we had a good time, and it was a lot of fun.
You are listening to Viewpoints. This
week's focus topic is skiing blind and what it takes to train for the 2014 Paralympics. Stacy's now 15 and in high school, and she's been skiing most of her life. I gather it was your parents who got you into skiing in the first place, right?
Yeah, because I was like 4 and they didn't really know what I could do with having a disability and all, and they really wanted something that the family could do all together, and they thought skiing was such a good opportunity because we could do it all together, and it was like an activity and a sport, keep us all in shape. And so they brought me to Wyndham because they had such a great adaptive program there, and that's when it all began.
Are they sorry?
I don't think so. They love skiing.
They always come to the national championships wherever they are, so we've been to Winter Park and Big Sky, Montana, and then last year we were at Alyeska in Alaska. Her family comes and watches us race, which is kind of cool.
My mom doesn't really watch, though, because she can't watch. She gets so scared, so she basically, like, stands at the finish with her back to the course, and she's, like, asking my dad what's going on, and, of course, my dad gets so into it.
My parents were not skiers at all. My mom probably would have died if she knew that I ever skied at all, but I've only done it a couple of times in my life, and certainly not at the level that Stacy's been doing it.
Kim actually has many years of experience in training and working with skiers with a whole big variety of disabilities.
I have a degree in physical education, and a good part of my classwork was in adaptive PE. So I always had an interest in it, and I was the athletic director at a girls' boarding school where we had a lot of students who had learning disabilities. But then when I moved up to Albany to where I live now, my office mate was the marketing person for the Adaptive Sports Foundation. And she kind of, you know, tugged me into, you know, just come over and do a couple clinics, just skiing clinics for our instructors. And you go in one or two times and you just get hooked. So I did more clinics. And then when I left the job I was in, I came to the Adaptive Sports Foundation and just started full time there.
No, I never had a coach like that.
But no matter who your coach is, and of course it helps if you know each other really well and you have a lot of experience together, you really need a certain amount of cooperation and an awful lot of trust. And Kim and Stacy have managed to work out techniques that enable them to negotiate even very complex courses. And recently they were clocked going 55 miles an hour.
I follow Kim and she tells me where to go and where she is. And we keep a very specific space between us so that she doesn't get too far ahead and she knows where I am so that I don't lose her. We have Bluetooth microphones and so we can communicate back and forth to each other easily. And like if you watch one of our races, you'll be able to hear that both of us are talking the whole time.
So Kim, you're presumably looking where you're going. How do you avoid getting too far ahead of Stacy? She's behind you. You can't be looking backwards also.
That's part of her job. My job is to memorize the race course and be looking ahead and communicating back to her what's coming. And then her job is every time Stacy passes the gate that's behind me, she needs to be that close to me or we get disqualified. So every time she passes a gate, she either says good or wait. And the minute she says wait, I know that I'm getting just a little bit out of her field of vision. So I'll do something kind of corrective in my skiing to lessen the gap between us. And then as soon as we're good, she'll say good. And then we take off again. We try not to come to a complete stop, but sometimes she tells me to wait when it's flat or something and we have spacing issues then.
Yeah, not stopping is generally the goal.
So you mostly race like in a slalom situation or just flat out for speed downhill?
We do both tech and speed. I did slalom and GS mostly because I had to be 15 to start racing speed in the adaptive world. So last year was my first year in speed and we did a super G and a downhill and a super combined at nationals.
How far are you two typically apart when you're racing like that?
4 or 5 feet, maybe.
4 or 5 feet and your skis don't touch?
No, we try not to let them.
Boy, that takes a lot of nerve.
I'll say. Not at 55 miles an hour for me.
We used to do a fair amount of cross-country skiing, and when Pete could see better, I'd go in front just like Kim does for Stacy, and I'd wear something that contrasted with both the trees and the snow, and he could follow me, and that worked okay. And let me tell you, I wasn't going 55 miles an hour. And then as his vision started to fail, he couldn't see me to follow me anymore, so Pete would go out front, and I would go in back, and I'd be yelling, left, right, left, right, and fat lot of good that did, because he doesn't know which is which. And every once in a while, because he's a much better athlete than I am, he'd get out of range, and that was dangerous, because then he'd just keep going, because he couldn't hear me telling him go to the left or the right. And now we snowshoe, and that's about our speed.
But it's fun.
It's fun.
And it's a great exercise.
That's true. So they've worked out all these great techniques. They're obviously quite a team together. But no matter how much you practice, sometimes you get a surprise.
The super combined had a really bad ending to it.
Oh, yeah, that was a very good day.
What happened there? That sounds like a story.
Coming out of the first race, a super combined, you do a super G in the morning, which is kind of a downhilly kind of race. And then you go and you get right onto your slalom skis and you do a slalom course. And in the Super G, they had this bizarre start where we just made two kind of easy turns across a slope and then had to just dive down over this pitch to the left. And when we inspected it, there wasn't a guard fence on the, like right above where you did the dive. So when we started the race, we were a little concerned about making that big left footer and not getting 30 feet of air. So, you know, I told Stacy, I said, stay right behind me. We're just, you know, right on my tail when we go around this corner. And so we started out and made the first two turns. And I'm like, okay, Stacy, come on, big right footer, ready, go. And I dive over the edge, and all of a sudden I can hear in my mic when Stacy wrecks. And I just heard all this. And then I hear, Kim, apparently there's a fence here. And I look up and she's just totally wrapped up in this guard fence that you put up between the inspection and the race. And she caught her tip in the fence and then did this full on Superman dive and took out about five coaches that were standing there. And it was apparently entertaining to them.
Was anybody injured?
No.
Nobody was injured. That's terrific. But those are the things I worry about when I downhill ski, which is why we've kept to cross-country skiing and snowshoeing. But still, we've had our incidents sometimes.
Yeah, nothing quite that dramatic. No. But apparently when that happens to Stacy, she just brushes herself off, stands up, or maybe the other order, and just keeps on going. In order to compete at this level, Stacy needs to be in very good shape, which requires year-round training.
During the rest of the year, I work out with a personal trainer at least once a week, and I work out at home at least two or three times a week, and I also ride horses as much as possible. Like, I go to the barn like 6 days a week when I'm not skiing.
You know, and I think any of these super athletes, that's really what it takes. It's a, you know, it's a real commitment and a full-time effort to compete and to accomplish things at that level, and she's obviously willing to put in that kind of commitment.
Her goal is to compete in the 2014 Paralympics in Sochi, Russia, which is in about 2 years. So pay attention when that happens. And she's busy working her way up to making it onto the official team.
Well, right now I'm the youngest member of the U.S. Paralympics national ski team, and I'm on the developmental squad. What that means is I travel with the ski team, and as I get better, I can make it onto their B team and their A team. And so my next goal is to get onto the B team. And once I qualify for World Cups with the points for the races, then I'll make it onto the B team. And then I'll get more funding from them and I'll get to travel more with them. So that's my goal for the season.
With the kind of commitment that takes and the kind of hours and training that Stacy's obviously puts into this effort, we were curious about how that impacted her schoolwork.
Well, I have really nice teachers so far. Most of them are really good about giving me work ahead of time. And so I bring most of my work with me. And then when I get home, I just kind of catch up on tests and projects and whatever I've missed so that I can keep up with my work. I have all A's and B's. I'm like really diligent with my schoolwork. That's like, that can't fall behind.
Well, kudos to Stacy. That's really quite a thing.
So Stacy's ability to do all this skiing and compete at these levels is made possible by the Adaptive Sports Foundation in the Catskill Mountains of New York State.
The Adaptive Sports Foundation is a program that provides outdoor physical activity opportunities for people with physical disabilities, cognitive disabilities, and also chronic illnesses. The largest portion of our program is the winter program. Last year, we did around 3,000 lessons. It's all skiing and snowboarding. And then we have a smaller summer program. We do cycling and a lot of paddling, canoeing and kayaking. We do some fly fishing and some personal fitness. We do a lot of yoga, things like that. We just launched in May one of the largest wounded warrior programs in the country. We do about 19 events a year for injured servicemen and women. We're very proud of that program because we developed a whole curriculum that is geared toward outdoor education and outdoor leadership. So these guys and gals, when they're injured and they're kind of in limbo land sometimes where they can't work yet, and, you know, they're kind of trying to find themselves and trying to figure out what they're going to do. And so they come up with us and we just rehab through sport. And then we have a competitive race team, which is where Stacy comes in. And that's individuals with cognitive disabilities and physical disabilities. And one thing, I don't know if people know, the Paralympics, which is the track that Stacy and I are on, the Paralympics are for individuals with physical disabilities. So visual impairments, amputations or congenital amputations, congenital disorders, spinal cord injuries, things like that. The Special Olympics are for individuals with cognitive disabilities. And our race team actually serves both, which is kind of unique, makes it kind of fun.
So if people wanted to find out more about that and either get involved as a participant or a volunteer, how would they do that?
You can find all kinds of information about Adaptive Sports Foundation programs at the website, which is www.adaptivesportsfoundation.org. We're about 2.5 hours north of New York City, an hour south of Albany.
How would somebody in another location find a similar operation?
Go to www.dsusa.org, Disabled Sports USA. They're kind of the umbrella organization for all of the athletic programs for individuals with disabilities across the country. And they have a pretty comprehensive listing of all the programs, you know, anywhere you might be interested in going.
So I know Kim just gave you the contact information. I'm going to repeat it anyway. The Adaptive Sports Foundation at Windham Mountain in New York State has as a web address www.adaptivesportsfoundation.org. That's all one word. And the umbrella organization she talked about, Disabled Sports USA, is at www.dsusa.org. And if you don't live in the United States and you're looking for a similar program, well, Pete?
Well, how about Google?
Google works every time.
Okay.
And if you weren't taking notes while you were listening to the show, we'll have those URLs and any other contact information in the show notes that you can get to at www.viewpointsplus.net. So the Disabled Sports USA organization is actually kind of interesting. I was reading from their history on their website. They've changed their name many times over the years, but not just frivolously. Their real charter has changed. It started out, they just did skiing for amputees, and so their name reflected that. And as they've broadened out to a wider and wider variety of sports and wider variety of disabilities, they decided they needed something all-inclusive. And so now they're called Disabled Sports. So whatever the disability, whatever the sport, they've probably got a program. And if not, they can certainly help put you in touch with somebody who can help you get set up to do whatever sporting activity you're interested in. So that's actually the background music for a video that Stacy has on her website, which is www.stacymanella.com. And I'm going to spell that S-T-A-C-I-M-A-N-E-L-L-A. So www.stacymanella.com. And the lyrics pretty much describe her attitude. I don't think anything's ever going to slow her down. Now for this week's high-tech item, we'll be talking about adaptive equipment for snow sports. And apparently, you know, we heard Stacy talking about some of the equipment that she uses, but depending on the actual nature of the visual impairment, you might want to use different kinds of equipment.
It depends on the vision. Like, I know one blind skier that has no vision at all, and her guide's radio is actually tied onto her back, the guide's back, so that instead of hearing it in her ear, she can hear where her guide is, so she knows where to follow. And then with us, we have radios in our helmets, so I can hear Kim talking, but I can't hear where she is. We use the fluorescent green bibs, but most blind skiers use the orange bibs. They're like pumpkin orange. It's a really important goggles, depending on the blind skier, what tint goggles you have. If you're really light sensitive like me, I have really dark goggles, but there's some VIs that really like it when it's sunny, so they have really light goggles. I use the same skis that any other racer would use. It's pretty much just getting down.
When an individual learns how to ski or snowboard, really the only modification or I guess adaptive equipment that you typically use is, you know, either a bamboo pole or something so that the student is in between two instructors. But other than that, you don't modify the skis or anything else.
And so again, what Stacy indicates is there isn't one solution for everybody. Whatever particular adaptive accessories or situation fits you is the one that's right for you, and you just have to figure out what that is. And it may involve some experimentation or just some advice from friends or seeing the way other people do it. And we've used different ways of doing these things at various times, depending on what the state of my vision was.
And we don't worry what people think about what we look like. These days, we've been snowshoeing in the snow as our preferred snow sport. And usually we hold hands. Well, everybody thinks that's sweet. But if we're in a particularly narrow spot, I have a tether tied to me and Pete holds onto that. And boy, we get some really strange looks. But what the heck, it gets us both through the trail safely and we're able to have a good time.
Actually, the tether is like a little bungee cord, so it's a little stretchy. So there's some latitude. If she gets a little ahead of me or I fall a little behind, it's not so big of a problem. The other thing we look for, by the way, is, in addition to the kindness of equipment, is just finding a safe place to ski. So when we were cross-country skiing, we avoided, big downhills, places with lots of trees and rocks and stuff like that. So that may be important to you also if you're looking into skiing.
Well, that's it for this week's show. This was Viewpoints show number 1203, if you're looking for it in the archive. Next week on Viewpoints, we'll be talking about enabling the blind to use touch screens. We'll talk about some ongoing research enabling the visually impaired to successfully use touch screens that haven't been adapted for the blind. We'll speak with Sean Kane about several studies he's done, including one with which he participated in the International Imagine Cup. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to viewpoints@wxxi.org or call us at 585-258-0333 and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, produced by Peter Torpey and Nancy Goodman Torpey in collaboration with WXXI Reach Out Radio. To subscribe to the podcast, access a full archive of shows and show notes, or to find out more, visit www.viewpointsplus.net, or you can follow us on Facebook and Twitter as Viewpoints Plus. We hope you'll join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. Thanks for listening to Viewpoints, and have a nice day. Thank you.